welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Just a few familiar stuff, things that I really believe the Lord has given me victory over. And it seemed as if those things have been surfacing again. And they weren't major things, they weren't things in terms of sin, or anything like that. More than issues of identity, so to speak. I was in this week just thinking about just all the insecurities all of a sudden I'm confronted with regarding the position and the role and the responsibility the Lord has given me. And by the way, I'm like speaking into the dark here. I'm just trusting you guys are there. Okay? I'm seeing the guys here at the front, and for the rest of you from time to time, just say amen. Okay, so I can know you're there, or thrill me with something, just give me an indication you haven't left. And I was just saying to Nikki that, you know, I'm really having to just reconsider the things that I've taken for granted. I'm having to look at my life, I'm having to look at the way I'm spending my time. And I'm really having to say to God, God, is what I'm busy with really what you want me to do? Because all of a sudden, I've just been blessed again with a very powerful realization that I don't have forever to do what God has called me to do. I don't have eternity, so to speak, to fulfill and to accomplish the purposes which God has for me here on earth. I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not too young either. I think Volvo has got a new ad out. I don't know whether you guys have heard it. At 35 is that peculiar age where you're not young either, but you're not too old either to have all the experience, but you're definitely not young anymore. That everything used to work the way it used to. And then they introduced the car and said, fortunately, there's one thing, 35 years old, that it still works. So I think it was Audi. Forgive me if I get it wrong. But I'm at the place now, but I'm realizing there are some things I just can't take for granted anymore. There are certain things I have to go back to, the basics in my life. Things like stretching. Stretching the hammies, stretching the back before I go to play a game of tennis. Not taking for granted I can just rock up there, play the whole day, and then be able to play with my kids at home and not have something creak and crack in my back. That's terrible. But I've come to realize that if I do not look after the small things, if I don't take care of the little things, then there are a whole bunch of bigger and more important things that somewhere along the line will take some strain. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for this conference. I really believe that the Lord has blessed us with a conference of incredible quality. And the quality resides in the humility of the speakers who were involved. I so enjoyed Mark Crossman's session about seven things that you can learn from ministry while surfing. You guys remember that? Seven things you can learn from ministry while surfing. One of the things he shared with me that really touched me was that he was getting down to the beach and he was surfing, and he was so excited about surfing that he forgot his keys, his valuables on the beach. But he didn't really forget them, he just didn't take proper care of them. He just left them there. So while he was busy surfing, somebody else came along and borrowed his car keys. But then this person had the good grace or the audacity, I don't know which one it is, to sort of send somebody else back to Mark after he was surfing to say to him, listen, somebody found your keys. Now, you know, I think that person had an incredible sense of discernment to know whose keys it was that they found. But they came back to him and said, somebody found your keys and they would like to give it back to you, but they're not too sure whether you would be angry or not. So Mark had to be very, like, exercise self-control and eventually got the keys back. But he made the point that sometimes we're so busy surfing, sometimes we're so busy doing the stuff that we have to do that we forget about the valuable things. And he just challenged me personally and said, don't get so busy that you forget the valuable things, that you forget the precious things. So I've just in this week, it was such powerful confirmation to me, I was just sitting down, I was looking at how do I spend my time. We're talking about being planted. We're talking about being planted in the house of God. We're talking about being planted in the purposes of God. And I've come to realize that it is so easy to get busy. It is so easy to get busy with a whole bunch of stuff that we sometimes move away from the important things. And I love what just happened here tonight. I love the fact that we could we could stop the flow of the service. Instead of having an altar call at the end as we would normally do, we could get down to the most important thing on God's heart. Seeing people being translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And if that is what this evening is all about, then this evening and this weekend is a resounding success. People coming to know Jesus. People coming to salvation. And I've been asking myself that question, is that my burning desire? Is that what drives me to do what I do, to see other people escape an eternity separated from God? What I do, how I do it, does it revolve around seeing salvation come to the nations? And I had to look at my studies, I had to look at my recreation, I had to look at how I spend my time in terms of traveling and with whom I spend it. And I have to ask myself this question, how effective am I in what God has called me to do? And so I'm at a stage of my life where I'm having to cut a few things. Say, that was a good thing, but that's not a God thing for what God asks me right now. And I want to challenge you and urge you as we go into the rest of this year to really ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, to help you to know what is it that He has called you to do in this particular season of your life. I'm so blessed by the volunteers this weekend. Blessed by your hearts. I'm blessed by your smiles. I'm blessed by your enthusiasm. I'm blessed by your humility. There were times before I could verbalize what I needed, somebody came and provided me with that. I want to thank you for what it represents. And I know that that is such a powerful summary and a representation of our heart as congregations here in this region. But I want to hold before you one portion of scripture. Michael, if you can just flip it for us. And it comes from a Psalm, Psalm 29. And it speaks about a time in the life of David. He got together a whole bunch of believers and he was busy with the dedication of the tabernacle, people coming together, pretty much like we're doing. And people celebrating coming together. And I love this about David, that David had this incredible capacity to connect with God, like few other people. He was the guy who could sit down next to a river or facing a lion or a bear or out in the desert, and he could connect with God, and he put it down in songs for us. He was a guy who had this intimacy with God, this intimate relationship that nobody could take from him. If ever there was a guy who just needed God, it was David. But David had something else going for him that I admire about him. In spite of the fact that he didn't really need anybody else to connect him to God, he was perfectly fine with God. Had an amazing relationship with God. He knew God intimately. He made the decision. He chose to have some of his greatest joys in life revolve around the people of God coming together. It wasn't so much that he couldn't live without them as it was a case of him choosing not to live without them. He was okay with God. He had everything that he could possibly desire within God and within God's intimacy. Yet he chose to say that there was one thing that he desired, to dwell in the house of God. Now we know that God's house isn't empty. We know that God's house consists of brothers and sisters. And I love this about old David. He had this thing driving him to say that I'm not just going to be content to have an amazing experience with God. Be blessed by God and bless God. I'm going to choose to have my joy amplified and magnified within the presence of believers. I love the picture that James used. The wedding analogy. You can go and get married within a court, in front of a magistrate, and it will be legal and everything in terms of the law. But that cannot compare at all to the joy of having other people present. Other people making a scene and a fuss over the bride's beautiful dress, complimenting the bridegroom on how charming he's looking. Most of the time we feel a little bit like Shrek, stand there and just, oh man, there's no way I deserve what is happening here. And you're just like your jaws popping open and just incredible to experience that sense of joy. And at the same time to look at the people around you and see the joy on their faces and know that you are sharing this moment. And the joy that you share is the joy that gets amplified in your life. And David knew this. And so David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. I was glad when somebody said, when are we going to worship God together again? When are we going to come together and have fun in His presence? And that is what makes this weekend and this evening so special for me. The guys coming through from Johannesburg, and I see him in Pretoria, you in Pretoria. And just being able to share the love and the joy of God. I also know that a lot of us this evening carry with us some uncertainties. You carry with you some questions that are unanswered. You carry with you trust that was broken. You carry with you a sense of not belonging, a sense of isolation. You carry with you maybe into this weekend and through this weekend such an awareness of how weak you are, such an awareness of how frail you are. If you are anywhere in the place that I am, even remotely, then you carry with you this sense of knowing that but for the grace of God, my life will fall apart. You carry within you the sense of knowing that I am a sinner saved by grace. That I've got nothing to boast upon save the power and the majesty of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that grace of God is enough for you. And that is something which we need to carry with ourselves, is an awareness in humble recognition of how much I need God, of how much I need God's grace in order for me to be what God has called me to be, whether it is a father or a husband, a brother or a sister, an employee or an employer. It doesn't matter in which area of your life you're finding yourself in. You need God's grace to empower you. But there's another perspective from our side, how much we need God. From our side, how dependent we are upon God. But you know what? When God looks at us, He doesn't look at us as little worms that can be squashed at any moment. He doesn't look at us as subjects are simply taking up oxygen. And you have another, oh no, not another problem. And now suddenly He has to call together an emergency meeting in heaven and get Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the angels together. Get your own personal angels and some other angels who were co-opted because your own personal angels weren't enough for your specific troubles. Get them all together because you're just breaking the mold. So what are we going to do with Heinrich? He's still not getting it after 35 years. He's still not getting it. What are we going to do? And Mary had a powerful vision that the Lord showed about this hourglass running empty, and she felt the Lord is saying that there are some of us who feel that the sands of time are running out for us in terms of seeing God's provision, in terms of seeing God's healing, in terms of walking in the purposes of God, and you have the sneaky suspicion that you are missing God wholesale and He isn't too pleased with you. And God just came and said, He's got your times in His hand. He's got your times in His hands. He knows where you are at. He knows which season you are in. And then He comes in, and through the Holy Spirit, I believe, is wanting to hold this before us. Even as we are aware of our own weaknesses, even as we are aware of how much we need God's grace, that from heaven's perspective, in terms of what the cross of Jesus has accomplished for us, there is another reality running parallel with our dependency upon God. Running parallel with our need and our hunger and our thirst for God. Running parallel with our awareness of how inadequate we are. And we find that even in the Old Testament, in Psalm 29, verse 1 to 2, David is exhorting the people of God. They're in the tabernacle, they're busy worshipping Him. And he's starting off and he's saying, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." And I love that about David. I love that about the way he starts off. He says, give. And I know as we're sitting here, each one of us, we register something different in our hearts when you hear that word give. Some of us feel pressure immediately. Oh! Somebody just please tell me how much will finally be enough before they will be happy. Before it will be enough. Some of us register an excitement and say, oh, man, I just can't wait to give again. We know the parameters where God is coming from. We can only give because He has given to us. We can only love because we have first been loved. And that's why I love what happened earlier this evening with the altar call. And we're going to worship God again. And I believe that as we worship Him again, there are going to be people who will be singing the same song in a completely different light, because now suddenly you realize that what you have to give is what has been given to you in the first place. You don't have anything to give in your own strength. Nothing. But because God has already given. And I love what John 3:16 says. Because God so loved. And He did what? He gave. And He gave lavishly. He gave extravagantly. He didn't just give enough so we could barely get by. He gave more than enough. He didn't just send an angel. Looked at our situation and say, oh, they completely separated from me. What can we do just to make sure they don't destroy each other? Mess up this entire planet. Maybe Gabriel will do. Or Michael. Maybe the both of them. If the both of them go. They say, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to give my everything. And believers, that is what you are carrying around in your hearts. You have been saved and you have been redeemed because God gave. He gave Himself lavishly. He gave Himself extravagantly. John 10:10 speaks about a life and a life in abundance. It doesn't speak about lack. It doesn't speak about insignificance. It speaks about a God who gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. And unless you have that rooted in your heart, you will feel pressure every time you hear the word give. But if you know that I can simply give in a response to the one who is giving to me, then suddenly it becomes exciting. Then suddenly you say, man, I can't wait to get in a position where God can give through me, where God can move through me. And so I want to join David in saying to you, give. As we go into the rest of this year, may we be known as a people who give. May we be known as a people who live extravagant lives. I love what Miles Monroe says. He says that when you die, please don't die full. Make sure you die empty. Make sure that you've given everything was placed inside of you. Give it away. There's some of you standing on the periphery. You're still thinking about should you get involved or should you not. You're still thinking about should you move in and share that word or not. There are people waiting for you on the other side of your obedience. I want you to remember what happened tonight. I want you to remember the step of faith Philip had to take. He said, I feel God is saying this. I feel there are people who need to respond. Imagine if he didn't do that tonight. Imagine what would have happened to the eternal destinies of the people who stood here at the front. Simply because one person was obedient to God. And that is Philip the pastor. But God has given each one of us the same magnificent, glorious, beautiful calling to be obedient to Him. And whether that obedience is writing that email, whether that obedience is giving that handshake, whether that obedience is giving the hug, whether that obedience is saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the form or the shape it takes. It simply matters that you are obedient. Because the obedience has everything to do with the eternal destinies of people that are waiting for you, and that are waiting for me to step up to the plate. So I want to encourage us as churches in this region. Let us give. Let us give extravagantly. And I want you to think beyond just finances. Maybe you've got sums going up in your brain at this moment. Thinking it's a 10%, 20% or whatever. If you are thinking that, then you need to have your mind brain cleansed. Okay, because Jesus didn't think about, okay, how much will be enough for Heinrich? Let me give him just enough. He just poured himself out on me. And he keeps on pouring himself out on me. Day after day after day after day. There's some of you that God is going to use mightily in the rest of Africa to unlock wealth and potential and to save villages and towns and generations from abject poverty. But for you to do that, you need to tap into the wellspring of life that can only come from God. You need to stop living like a slave to your circumstances and walk and wake up in the morning as a son and a daughter of God who knows that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Everything. And that is not going to happen as you just someone just wake up. You need to get into the Word. You need to say, God, what do you have for me for this season of my life? I'm not going to meander through this month. I'm not just going to wake up and try and make things work. I'm not going to wait for life to happen to me through the grace and the power of God. I am going to happen to this day. God, what is your purpose? I've got such a sense of urgency in my spirit that some of you here, you should have proposed to that girl a long time ago. You are keeping destiny. You are keeping destiny from being fulfilled. You should have had kids already now. Get over your addiction. Get over your insecurity. Get up at 5 in the morning. Pray. Fast. Do what you need to do to get to the place where you can be the man God wants you to be. Stop hiding away behind, my dad didn't do this. My grandpa didn't do this. They got divorced 5 times. That is not your destiny. Not if you're a child of God. Stop believing the lies. Stop believing the circumstances. Get up. Step up to the plate. Be the man God has called you to be. For you ladies, there's some of you that should stop just giving yourself away. You're a princess of the Most High God. Let Him fight for you. Let Him prove Himself. Let Him pick up His socks. Let Him keep His word. Let Him pursue you. Let Him come back again and again. See whether you're the prize. Because you're a prize in the eyes of your daddy. He values you enough so much that He sent His Son to die for you. For you oaks right now feeling condemnation, I'm going to say to you, shake it off. You can go on for the rest of your life feeling condemned and nothing will happen. Still be alone. Step up into the righteousness that God has for you. God is saying, give, O you mighty. The same word that came to Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. The same word that came to Joseph as he was sitting in the pit, feeling all his dreams disappearing, is the same word that is coming to you. The same word that came to Daniel as he was sitting in the lions then because he was faithful. His reward for faithfulness was thrown in amongst some stinking lions. That was his reward. He could have had a pity party there. God, I was faithful. I was only doing what the pastor said I had to do. And I got battered again. So what? Conquer that lion. Stand up. Stand up for what God has called you to do. God is saying to you, you are a mighty man of valor. One word from one girl that says, I'm not interested, cannot destroy your life. You've got God who says to you, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You are a son of the king, man. Live like it. Get your budget sorted out. Get your hormones sorted out. Get your internet sorted out. Wash your car. Live like a prince of the Most High God. Treat your sisters like royalty. Buy them flowers just for them. Not because you've got any hidden motive, just because you want to bless them. And be nice to the little kids that come to church. Any woman worth her salt will look at how you look after other people's kids. To see whether you can be a good dad to her kids. Cultivate that. Cultivate that. God sees you, says, give. Guys, give in intercession. Give in prayer. I just loved about this weekend just the beautiful mixture between male and female. The time where the woman had to do everything in church is gone. I love the fact that we've got this beautiful interaction. God is saying to you tonight, a little bit of a strong word. But essentially the Lord is saying, He's wanting to speak to you tonight, not as slaves, not as victims, but as mighty ones. Saying to you, you are a mighty man of valor. And from that position of strength, you can give. What is your strength? Your strength is your realization as to how weak you are. That is your strength. Because that realization takes you to the cross. That realization takes you to the place where you will not dare to do anything in your own flesh. But you're dependent upon God. And you walk with Him. And the very breath that you take comes from Him. And He goes on and says, let me get off here so I can see what He says. It's give unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you to make your giving the rest of this year, make it unto the Lord. May our serving always be unto the Lord. May our giving of our finances always be unto the Lord. May our loving each other always be unto the Lord. May our sacrificing always be unto the Lord. If it's not, then a man or a woman has the power and the potential to destroy you with a word, to mess up your day. And Jesus knew this. You know, we always say that it was love that took Jesus to the cross, and that is true. We always say that it was love for us that enabled Jesus to do what He had to do, and that is true to a certain extent. But what truly really drove Him was a desire to please His Father. That is what drove Him. And His Father loved us, and that's why He wanted us to come, Jesus to come. But obedience to God was more important. Obedience to Jesus was more important than just loving. Jesus lived his life to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." And I've been walking with the Lord for many years. And I've come to realize that as soon as I move from that place where it is that voice that consumes my thinking, where it's that voice that affirms my day and defines my identity, I am, in the words of Bart Simpson, deep, deep trouble. Very deep. As soon as I lose sight of that voice, as soon as I move from the place where everything that I do flows out of a sense of calledness, if there is such a word, I've been called by Him to give away my life. And so when we serve, wherever the Lord has placed you, let it not be for the pastor to see. Let it not be for the girl to think how wonderful you are. With everything that I've said now, all the stuff that you have to do, if you do it simply to impress, if you do it simply to get people's acclaim, you know what you will get? People's acclaim. And that will be all. And you've got to make a quality decision. There are some of you here. You tonight have to make a decision. Will you live your life bound to the tyranny of man's opinion, or will you live it according to the freedom of God's approval? You've got to make that decision tonight. You've got to come that God can circumcise your heart to say that I will not be a victim to the fickleness of man's opinion. The same crowd that said, "Hosanna in the highest, the Son of David," it's the same crowd that cried out, "Crucify Him," a few days later. Jesus knew what it means to have people think that you, the next best thing that happened to fall on the face of the earth, and the very next moment to think that you are trash. Jesus knew what it meant. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a housewife, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a journalist, a graphic designer, whether you're a policeman, if you want to be obedient to the voice of God, you will need to know people will disagree with you. Somewhere along the line, somebody will stab you in the back. Somewhere along the line, somebody will say something against you that is untrue. And you have got to make a decision. You will not be swayed by that. There's some of you here, you never heard your dad say, "I am proud of you. I love you." You never heard him say that B or that C or that D was good enough because it was your best. And so you've got this massive gaping hole in you. And anybody who says anything to affirm you, strengthens you and carries you. You're like this balloon that constantly needs to be puffed up, so to speak, by people's opinions. Tonight the Lord is wanting to come and He wants to breathe His breath into you. He wants to give you the ability to soar above your circumstances, not through man's voice, but through His voice, that He alone can breathe into you. So when we give in this year, let's give unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you, that when you come with your brokenness, when you worship, we don't worship to feel better. We don't worship to feel better about ourselves. Feeling better about ourselves is a fantastic bonus of worshiping God. It is a wonderful byproduct. It's the best antidepressant that you can get. Worshiping Him, because it's in His presence that your perspective changes. It is in your presence that mountain, in His presence, that mountain becomes a molehill. It is in His presence that you know what you need to do. But more importantly, it's in His presence that you know what has been done already. What God has already done for you. But I want to encourage you. If you're here tonight and you feel just broken physically in your body, give unto the Lord glory. Give unto the Lord Jehovah Rapha, your healer. You feel like your body just doesn't want to do what it's supposed to be doing. You worship Jehovah Rapha, the one through whose stripes you are healed. You give unto Him glory and strength. You give it unto Him. Say, "Jesus, here's my body. Here's this thing that is fighting against me with my hormones and my sexuality and my passions and my lusts and all of those things. I'm giving it to You. And with this, I'm going to worship You. I'm going to trust You for healer because You are my healer. I'm giving to You. I am giving to You glory. I'm giving to You strength. I'm giving to You honor." Maybe you here tonight and your budget is driving you insane. You need to give unto the Lord Jehovah Jireh, your provider, glory and strength. You've got to say, "God, You are greater than my budget. God, you are greater provision than my bursary. God, you are greater provision than my employer. I am worshiping you. And if 50 cents is all that I have to give, I am giving that with all of my heart. I'm giving to you glory. I'm giving to you strength. I'm giving to you honor. If you are here and you feel isolated and you feel alone, don't worship to be accepted by people. You worship Jehovah Shammah. Give unto the Lord, Jehovah Shammah. Give unto Him. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord who is there. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You bring that brokenness, and out of that brokenness, you worship Him. If you are here this evening, you're sitting with that heaviness of shame and despair upon you because you've messed up again. You come tonight and you give unto the Lord glory and strength. And you give it unto the Lord, Jehovah Titkinu, your righteousness. Your righteousness. He did it for you. You don't have to be bound to that shame tonight. You don't have to be bound to that anger against yourself, that self-loathing that causes you to think those thoughts of self-mutilation, cutting your wrists, cutting your thighs, wanting to drink the overdose of pills. You don't have to be a victim to that because your righteousness has already been achieved. You can give out of your brokenness to Him. Maybe you feel defiled by the world. Maybe you still feel the clammy fingers of the man who raped you, that uncle who betrayed you. Then you can give unto Jehovah Makadesh, your sanctifier, tonight. You can give to the one who cleanses you. You can give to the one whose presence alone is enough to cleanse you of all of that filth, even to heal you from the very memory. Because He alone can do that. And what I'm wanting to say to you is that God doesn't see you as a victim. You are not planted as this fragile little thing. You might feel like it. But God says you are an oak of righteousness because your righteousness is in Christ. And He's saying to you, rise up. And in this year, you give unto God glory. You give unto Him strength. What does that mean? It simply means that whatever I do, I trust the Holy Spirit to shine the spotlight as radiantly and as gloriously upon God. Upon His magnificence. And I'm selfish. I run to Him and I say, God, I'm running into You. You gave Your life away. I'm drinking from You. I need You to help me to make this decision, not based upon what's best for me, but based upon what I know is best for Your kingdom. I don't want to do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. But I know through You, it's possible. And so David got together with, he had a choir of about 300 people singing and hundreds of trumpets. And he got them together and he says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord. And I want you to remember that as you go into the rest of this year. When God calls you to give, when God calls you to serve, when God calls you to love, when He calls you to have a passion for Jesus, when He calls you to have power of conviction, when He calls you to live with purpose, doesn't call you to do that out of a place of trying to do it. He calls you to do it out of a place of victory. There's a trembling taking place in the realm of the Spirit. Because there are people here tonight that's about to break free. There are people here tonight that's going to give unto the Lord. You have never realized you can give unto God. That you can come and you can stand, and out of your brokenness you can give something into the Spirit that will remain a legacy for people who's going to come behind you and after you. And some of you, you're going to praise your kids out of despair. You're going to praise the generation that were born from you out of brokenness. The devil has been lying to you. He's been saying to you, you will forever remain a victim, forever powerless, forever bound to the sin. I'm here to say to you that is not the way that God sees you. And He's saying to you that when you give, you don't give to earn love. You give because you are loved. You don't do good deeds to get into God's favor. You do good deeds because you already have God's favor. And you can't but help it. You can't but help to overflow with what He has given you. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to sing that first song again. So I'm wanting to get out of the way because there are people here who want to praise God. There are people here who want to give unto God. What only you can give. And I want to say that to you. That some of you here, you've got experiences where the enemy has tried to wound you, to scar you, to mutilate you. And that very mutilation is that something very unique and something very specific only you can give to God. And you have got to tap into the strength that He has for you. I'm going to read for you that entire verse, chapter. Don't you just want to stand, please. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for allowing me to shout and scream at you. Nothing thrown at me yet, so praise God. Philip has trained you well. If I shout and I scream, I'm sorry, I'm just excited. Psalm 20, and I'm going to read the entire psalm for us. Step to a place where you can get some light. Okay, you guys still see me? Barely. Okay. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. You just want to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And if you feel particularly weak this evening, maybe you feel like Daniel. You've been faithful, and it just feels like, God, my reward for faithfulness is persecution. My reward for faithfulness is doors shutting all around me. I feel like I'm all alone. I'm misunderstood. I should be happy and I should be ecstatic. But I just feel like the walls are closing in on me. Maybe you're like Joseph and you have incredible dreams God has given you. And it seems to you like the more you're dreaming, the more trouble you're getting into. Maybe you're like Esther. And you know God has called you to say something to somebody specifically. And you feel incredibly afraid. You don't know that whether you as one woman, one girl can make a difference. And you need to hear tonight that God is saying this to you. There's something valuable. I will never forget the man was obedient to God to give my dad a lift to Beaufort West. So that unbeknown to him, he could meet my mother. One thing led to the other, and here I am. And here you are, listening to the sound of my voice because somebody was obedient. To give a poor farm laborer's boy a lift. So he can go and visit the buddy. Meet the wife of his dreams. Pursue the kingdom together. Have 3 sons. Small step of obedience that changed hundreds of lives. Who has God called you to give a lift to? Your life. I don't even have a car, man. What are you talking about? Maybe it's time to start trusting Him for that car. Maybe it's time to start stepping out in faith. Them saying, God, the car of my life, I want that car to be obedience. That is the car of my life. That is what's going to take me to where I need to be. Obedience. Not VW. Obedience. So if you're Joseph in the pit, if you're Dan in the lions, then if you're Esther having to speak that word, if you're Mary feeling overwhelmed by the magnitude of God's calling upon your life, I want to say unto you, give unto the Lord. God gives us opportunities to worship Him. And I love my times of intimacy with God by myself. I cannot live without it. It is the oxygen I need to survive. I will die without it. But I love coming together with believers. I love the faith that gets released when we worship Him together, when we cry out to Him together. I love being able to stand and look around at people on their knees. I love it when I see grown big men flare down on their faces and I say, God, You can change this country. You can change this continent. You can change this world with this generation. So we know how much we need You. But don't you dare not give. Whatever it is that God has placed on your heart, man, give it. Lady, give it. Take the opportunity God gives us when we come together like this. Sunday evenings, Wednesdays, to worship Him. Didn't lie when I said I wanted to read you this chapter. Let me try again. Give unto the Lord. Let's close your eyes. Close. Give unto the Lord, oh you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Come on, give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He doesn't see you as filthy. He doesn't see you as this outcast. He sees you standing in the beauty of holiness. And out of that you give. Where you're standing is holy. Whether you're sitting in the toilet, whether you're driving in the taxi, whether you're in the train, doesn't matter. The presence of God is there. He says in the beauty of holiness you can give. The voice of the Lord, I'm going to speak this over the voices wanting to rage against you tonight. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them all to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. There are some of you about to give birth to destiny here tonight as the voice of the Lord echoes through your spirit and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone cries, glory! The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord will give strength to His people. And the Lord will bless His people with peace. Father, I thank You tonight, Lord God, that I can speak over the Josephs in this house, Lord, because this field is Your house. I thank You, God, that I can speak over the Daniels, oh God. I thank You that I can speak over the Ruths and over, Lord God, the Esthers, over the Marys, God, the Timothys and the Sauls. I can speak over them Your voice, oh God. It says that You give strength to Your people. I thank You that tonight we cross the Jordan out of self-effort, oh God, and self-condemnation. And we walk into the glorious, humbling liberty of the righteousness of the sons of God. Father, I thank You, Lord God, for the wheels being set in motion tonight as hearts respond to Your call of obedience. I thank You for the sacrifices that have been given over this weekend. I thank You, Lord, for every kilometer driven to get here tonight. I thank You, Lord God, for every cent spent, Lord God, to make this possible. I thank You for every hand that has given. And Father, I thank You that this is the generation, oh God, that will see You establishing Your kingdom in our midst. We say, don't pass us by, oh God. We say, don't look to another, oh God. Do what You have to do, but do it to us, oh God. Let Your voice thunder to us, oh God. Let Your hand be displayed to us, oh God. Lord, we look to the cross and we say, we will forever boast in the cross of Jesus. We will forever, oh God, find our joy, find our strength, find our peace, find our hope, find our provision, find our deliverance, find our healing, find our identity, Lord God, in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ. And we thank You that tonight the grave is empty. We thank You that tonight You have risen to take captivity captive. And tonight, oh God, dreams are being resurrected. Tonight, oh God, destinies are standing up. Tonight, oh God, people are responding to You. Not as slaves, but as mighty ones. As mighty ones. As mighty ones. So let all the people in the house of God tonight say, glory! And all the people of God say, glory! 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We're going to lift up our voices. We're going to praise God, man. God should take us away. I want you guys to say, Lord God, the next 5 minutes. I know we've been going on. The next 5 minutes. I want you to worship God, not as a victim. You've got to make the decision. I want you to see yourself standing in the courts of the Most High God. I want you to see the angel standing as a God of honor. Swords drawn over sons and daughters of God who are arising, blood washed, spirit filled, cleansed by the Most High God. And every demon that has tried to pursue you, his voice gets silenced now in the name of Jesus. The peace is going to wash over some of you here like you have never experienced. You're going to hear His voice speaking into your heart. So God, we give you glory tonight. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord, that even as we are going to dance before you, rejoice before you, the greater reality is, God, you are dancing over us.
Yes.
And you are rejoicing over us. You're twirling around. And the voice of God that thunders is the voice of the Father rejoicing that His children have come. I just sense that there a special assignment of angels that have been sent tonight, even to this field. And they're waiting to see what the sons, daughters of God will give to Him tonight.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.